CliffCentral.com.
George Meany is here. It's a Friday, so it's time for the Auto Central Power Pod. George every week brings us some motor news, gets us going, knows how he can better inform us and educate us about the world of cars and such. George, before we get started with an update, good morning, by the way. Are you much of a crier?
Morning. Not really.
Okay. How do you deal with people who cry?
Try and be empathetic, try and understand their situation. Unless you've been through the situation, it's very difficult to, feel someone else's pain.
Have you ever seen someone cry in a Ferrari? I heard that doesn't happen.
Yes.
Is that Flex?
Yeah.
Look who's back, it's Flex.
And then George, last comment on this. As the CEO of Auto Trader, if you were minding your own business at the office and someone started crying at the office in the middle of a very serious meeting, would you be able to take them seriously? How would you deal with that?
It's happened before. I've been around the block here, well, in this business for going on 17 years. So it's happened a few times. And the standard practice is let's take a break. Let's take a minute. Go and compose yourself. And then and let's carry on in about 5 or 6 minutes. So
you give them a timeline. If you are not done by 5 minutes, it's George the Slave Driver.
Yeah, that's just going to make it worse, man.
You've got to be empathetic. You can't be cold hearted. So you can't sit there and look at the person and say stop. It doesn't work like that. You know, you've got to be a little bit empathetic, trying to understand the situation. But if you're trying to get through something in business, take a break, come back, and then try and work through the problem.
Okay. I don't know. Should we just agree
to disagree? Ignore the problem.
I would actually gladly continue with the meeting and let them sob in the corner and just carry on with things.
What if they've got genuine ideas and value to add in the meeting? Because if somebody's not engaged in a meeting, they might as well not be there.
Well, clearly your value has diminished if you're a sobbing wreck.
Oh, my Lord's here.
Gosh. George, what's in the news?
Sometimes good ideas come out of emotion, eh? You just don't know.
Very true.
Okay, then I'll start bringing alcohol to the office because that's how I
do my emotions. But remember, I think your frontal cortex is very much a filter, and sometimes you can filter the good things out if your logical brain is too much in action. So sometimes emotion is not a bad thing. It lets the real kind of raw ideas out. So cry, Sia, it's fine.
It clears up the cobwebs.
Trying to tell Sia that for like an hour, it's okay to cry.
No, it's not happening.
He's not having any of it.
Not at all. George, what is in the news this week?
Well, I brought this one out just for you, Sia. A Florida man.
Ah, we love Florida.
Oh, dear.
Is there a Florida in South Africa, do you think?
Yes.
In
Durban,
no?
I'm thinking about Florida Road.
Oh, or do you mean like, is there an equivalent of?
Oh, an equivalent. I'm thinking of the equivalent. I know what Florida means. Is there an equivalent in South Africa of Florida? Anyway, a man chases down his stolen Lamborghini on a scooter. So this gentleman in Florida, he's sitting peacefully in his own living room. And next minute, he hears his Lamborghini Urus start up. And Lamborghini Urus isn't a quiet car. Turned out that this 14-year-old boy decided that this Lamborghini Urus was something he wanted. So took the Lamborghini. Went on a bit of a joyride, but the story doesn't end there because the little boy, the 14-year-old, parked the car on the side of the road, got out, was sobbing his eyes out, and when the owner of the car came along on his scooter, approached the boy, and the boy started asking him for advice, unknowingly that this was the owner of the car. I just stole a car. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm in trouble.
What a dodo.
multi-million rand car, which has more horsepower than any bicycle you'll ever own.
Exactly.
I'd also panic, but I'd enjoy that joyride, eh?
Woo. Well, the Lambo owner said to the 14-year-old boy, you know, the fact is this is going to be reported to the police, and your best solution is just to be honest, because they'll go easier on you. And at that moment, the police arrived, and, well, we don't know what the outcome is yet.
Absolutely.
And apparently, it turns out it wasn't his first crime, though.
Oh, absolute idiot. You see, I'd be pissed that you stole my car, and I'd be pissed at the fact that you have the audacity to cry in front of me.
No, if someone's leaving their Lamborghini with the keys in the door, like, you have every right to take that joyride.
Every right. Flags, there's something called legal and illegal here.
George, no, it's what? Called being an opportunistic person.
Wow.
Whenever are you going to get a chance to drive in a Lamborghini?
So. Well, legally or illegally, you could go for a test drive. You just go to the dealership. You don't have to steal it and go to jail to have a test drive.
George, surely if I went to the Lamborghini dealership, they would not let me test drive a Lamborghini? Or would they?
You're flex, so they might.
I know, but my credit card says like 0001.
And then, first, let me ask you, Sia, are you an anti-vaxxer? Are you going to go for the vaccine when it comes around eventually, maybe 2035?
Yeah, look, the particulars of it, where you stand and ethically and whatnot, that's a complete different story. I am just, yes, I want to get it now just because I'm jealous. I need to go on Instagram. I need to say I'm vaccinated. So yes, I'm a vaxxer.
Oh, you're a vaxxer. Okay, so Moscow, Russia, as a matter of fact, is giving away free cars to people who get the COVID vaccine. So they're incentivizing. These are 195,000 Rand cars, and they will be giving away 5 per week in a lucky draw. So you go and have your vaccination, you get to enter a lucky draw, and you get to potentially win 1 of 5 cars every single week. Well, obviously, you can't have a vaccine every week, so you can only do it once. Mm-hmm. But they're incentivizing getting the COVID-19 shot by giving away cars.
What? I think she saw this in the news. Someone commented on it and they were like, in 2020, it's your civic duty to get the COVID vaccine. And then in 2021, it's like, get the COVID vaccine and stand a chance to win a Honda Civic.
So anyone over 18 who receives their first 2-dose COVID-19 vaccine from the 14th of June until the 11th of July would be automatically entered to win this 195,000 Rand car. And good on them. I mean,
very impressive.
Like, put your syringe in a lucky draw.
Yes, exactly. Revenge in a lucky draw. Could carbon capture save ice cars? It's a bit of a boring topic, but I don't know what it is about petrol heads, because the moment electric cars start making the inroads into the world, someone comes up with an idea to try and save the internal combustion engine. So a bunch of engineers have come up with this process to extract carbon out of the dirty stuff that combustion engines produce, the CO2, capture it, and then use it to recycle so that it doesn't go into the atmosphere. And it's called carbon capture. Now, I really do it at factory and move. So they've got a bit of a challenge when it comes to doing it with cars. How do you capture the carbon in the car? Because you've got to effectively extract the carbon, store it, and dispose of it or reuse it at some point down the line, which means you've got to keep it on the car, which I think is going to be difficult to do. But it's amazing how some people want to save these fossil fuel cars and fossil fuel manufacturing plants for some reason.
Why? We've proved electric cars are 10 times faster.
10 times faster, 10 times better, 60% cleaner, more fun to drive, quiet. I don't know if it's the noise.
It's like, putting money into research and development that is worthless.
Yeah.
We're moving towards electric vehicles.
Why do this? I don't understand it. Carbon capture, well, good on you. Maybe we can get some new technologies for other stuff, but not cars. Let's just go electric. I don't see the point, to be honest.
Do you think we will go full electric straight away, or we're going to phase in first from semi-electric and those cars that go from normal combustion and electric and use both.
We have to go full electric.
Hybrids, yes.
You're talking about hybrids. We have to go full electric, fact, because the trouble with Europe, not the trouble with Europe, the good thing about Europe is they've put down the gauntlet. The UK has said that by 2030, no more internal combustion engine vehicles are allowed to be produced and put on their roads. The other European countries have said 2035 and so on and so forth. So different countries have got different deadlines in Europe, but somewhere between 2030 and 2040 seem to be the deadlines. Now, if a hybrid vehicle has an internal combustion engine that helps drive the car, so it doesn't fit into that deadline.
Makes sense. Because I read that Mercedes is no longer putting any money into research and development on combustion vehicles, only electric, and I'm sure the rest follow suit.
Yes, Audi has done the same. So it's a matter of time. That's all it is. And the thing about South Africa is 60% of our production in South Africa is exported to Europe, mostly to England, because they're right-hand drive. And because of that big chunk of our economy going out of the country, the exports, which is a good thing, we have to move to full electric. The transition through hybrid, I don't think is going to be there.
But my question is, we can barely have electricity for our houses now. How are we going to power up our cars?
I just heard this cat. No, so I've got an electric car, Flex. I don't know if you know. It's in my garage.
Which one?
The I-Pace.
So I've been driving that
Jag, yes. I've been driving that probably for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I have not had an issue even through the worst load shedding over the last month. The car charges for an hour, 2 hours a day. And load shedding, you know, if you who's going to get home except for the 18-year-old, maybe Sia, get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Were you doing a live video at 2 o'clock in the morning the other day, Sia?
At 2 a.m.?
Oh, God.
That was a weekend.
Talking about the
no, no. Yes.
It's like, no, that would never be me. let's focus on EV.
Okay. So to answer your question, I've been driving this EV now for the last month or so through the worst times of load shedding, and I've never experienced a problem. And at the moment, I don't have enough solar panels on my roof to charge the car fast enough. So I have to rely on Eskom power to charge the car at this point in time. And I haven't faced an issue at all. If you do 60, 70 Ks a day, in normal driving, it's a lot. And if most people think about an EV, I've got to charge the thing from 0 to 100. No, you don't. I'm charging my car maybe from 80 to 100, maybe from 90% to 100, which is very small, short periods of time.
When are you charging it? Are you plugging it in every day, or you go a week and then charge?
No. That's the practice that gets you into trouble with an EV. If you treat it like an internal combustion engine vehicle and wait for the tank to empty and then fill it, then you're going to wait 12, 15 hours to charge the thing. Whereas you plug it in every single time, like your cell phone, 1, 2, 3 hours max, and it's fully charged again.
Would you feel comfortable driving to Cape Town in this electric vehicle? Where would you charge up? Plug it in the wall.
No, well, the wall charges are very slow. So they, you know, a car like this from zero to full is going to take you about 30 hours to charge if you plug it into the wall. Because it's only charged at about 2.5 kilowatt hours, maybe three. Whereas fast chargers charge at 22, 33, and 66 kilowatt hours. So there is fast charger every 200 Ks on every major highway in South Africa.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's great.
That's impressive.
If you go and look at my social media feed, you'll see I've put maps of where these chargers are. So they're all over the place. Talking about electric cars, you know, Norway is leading the world when it comes to EVs. And they're facing a little bit of a challenge at the moment because the penetration of EVs in their market is so high now, the government is starting to lose tax because they've incentivized it so much. So they're looking at bringing the taxes back to cars in Norway now that they've got this high penetration, which I think is the way that South Africa should go. We should drop the taxes across the board for a period of time, mm-hmm. get the transition to happen, and then reintroduce the taxes slowly. It's not like a government can operate without tax. They have to have tax. So let's not think that they can't operate. Or should I say they can operate without tax? The fact of the matter is they need the taxes, but we should lower those taxes for a period of time to get people to switch.
George, is the progress to your liking when it comes to how the world is moving and taking on EVs and that trend?
Sorry, say that again. Do you stutter?
Would you say can you hear me now? Are we all good?
Yeah.
Is the progress to your liking? Do you think the world is moving as fast as it could when it comes to adopting electronic vehicles or electric vehicles?
I think if it wasn't for Elon Musk, the answer to that would be no. But because of him. Yeah. The world is progressing very fast, and I think it's as fast as it can go. The biggest challenge isn't the EV. The biggest challenge is the battery. The battery technology in the world is lagging the everything else. Mm-hmm. Silicon chip. It's lagging software development. It's lagging aesthetics. It's just the battery development is that's what's holding back a real mass adoption because it's expensive to make. It doesn't charge fast enough. The ranges are now getting pretty high. I mean, in a 100-kilowatt Tesla, you can do 500-600 km. My iPace can do 400 km on a full charge, which is a 90.
Didn't someone bring in a Tesla into South Africa recently? Just one.
Yes, there was one Tesla brought into South Africa. It cost about double the price of the car because of the import tax.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did they bring it in, or was it just like they had the cash?
It was a marketing thing, and I still think it is a marketing thing, which is good because everybody and anybody who can drive this transition will save the 60% exports that we stand to lose if the industry doesn't change.
Sure.
Alrighty, George.
Are people lobbying though?
Behind the scenes, we all are. We're making suggestions to government. We're talking amongst ourselves, Auto Trader, NAMSA, the OEMs. We're all trying to get the right solution on the table, and as Auto Trader, we're trying to use our reach to try and change the mindset of the consumer around EVs and tell people it's very possible to drive to Cape Town like you asked just now. Every 200 km is a charge. I'm going to do it in the next in the next little while. I'm going to do it as soon as this wave starts to get behind us, and then I'll show you that it can be done.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely blog that.
Awesome. George, is there anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Thank you very much then. CliffCentral.com